just like you guys.
Right.
Of
course, right?
Well, that's good. That is good. Well, good to be back again. Sorry I missed the last meeting. Well, I guess you and I both.
Yeah.
Well, the two of you who were here the last time, can you bring us to speed with what you guys talked about? Because my understanding is that you got to the place where you were intending to talk about the purpose and meaning, all of that, and you guys didn't get a chance to do that. So I'm filling in for Ival that I understand did a very good job. Yeah, he says his apologies. He couldn't. Actually, I think he's coming tonight to attend the service tomorrow, he said. I'm not sure. But he had to speak at his uncle's church for Black History this afternoon, so that's why he couldn't be there. So, yeah, bring up to speed what you guys did, and we'll pick up from there.
We did like an exercise. We wrote down our passions, basically what we enjoy doing. And then he had us narrow it down based on a series of questions, like... basically like what we can see ourselves, what we can't see ourselves not doing, and you basically tie that into your passion is somehow tied into your purpose. His example is like he loves to sing, but that's not necessarily his purpose. His purpose is helping people, but so it was tying in like how you use your passions to figure out your purpose. And I know we did other. Do you remember? Like I can't. I know it was like a worksheet we filled out.
Yeah, the exercises. I don't quite remember the exercises. Yeah. You actually reminded me of it now. I remember more of the conversation as we actually talk about it. How do you manage pursuing passion over what it takes to exist? In society, because they're two different things. You have to manage your societal expectations and fulfill this thing called passion. Right? How do you manage it?
Well, okay. If you were to just state what you think your purpose is right now, where you are at this stage in your life, what would that be? I mean, obviously, there's no right or wrong.
Yeah, of course.
But I mean, just throw it out there. What do you think your purpose is? What would that be?
I would start by saying that it's to help people. I know this sounds right. But
we're gonna have a lot of good Samaritans here Let me change the question. You know, I was just thinking about taking that particular color of a pillow to sit on. But anyway, no, that's fine. No. Seriously.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase it. What do you believe gave your life, the most meaning right now? Right now, what do you believe gave your life the most meaning?
I would say I was still helping people.
Okay.
And I would also say being a mother.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Being a mother. Okay. Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I can see that.
You know? I do a good job of motivating people.
Okay. Yeah. So you think what gave you the is that what wakes you up every morning?
It's something I just do. But I don't know. I wouldn't say
it's. Okay. Let me rephrase the question again. All right. If you didn't have to get up out of bed, what would you be missing?
I'll be missing sharing the life of other people. That experience for me trumps all. I mean, it's
okay. So I mean, for me, it would be my cup of coffee, actually, if I didn't have to get up out of bed in the morning. I mean, like this morning at 5:30, I went to fix my coffee, went out on my deck, but one day night, which was sleep, went on my deck, listened to the birds. I haven't done that for, I don't know how long, you know, went out there. 5:30 this morning, the birds were flying, it was kind of cool, but not cold. Sat down, drank my coffee, studied my sermon for tomorrow, and it was a beautiful morning, right? So I would have missed that, and I got out of bed. So it's not about helping people, or even pastor, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I can't be here by myself and just, you know, everybody shut out, right? Mm-hmm. So, but if you didn't have to get up in the morning, what would you miss the most? Because you see, your purpose in life is not always, it's not necessarily what drives you every day.
Okay.
But you see, life is almost like a jigsaw puzzle. It's almost like a jigsaw puzzle. And everything contributes to your purpose. So your very existence, sometimes the very thing you dislike, right, pulls you closer toward that which you believe you want. Now, it's easier said than done, you know, because sometimes life pushes us to a point where we have to make do. We have to make do, and sometimes we make do with the wrong thing, right? Sometimes it can be on the far level, be the very negative. Like for those of you who read TLC, those of you from Liberia, read TLC, one of the stories that was on this week, which really would sink you deep down, is the sex trade, where you get an 18-year-old girl who been in the sex trade for 8 years, meaning she started when she was 10, and she said that's the only life she knows. All right. Now, obviously, she didn't wake up one morning and decide this is what I'm going to do, but something within her environment, something within her situation, forced her to do what she did, and for her, that she's not getting out. She says nothing else she knows. All right. So that's the extreme. Now, on the middle of all of that, you get someone who believe they ought to be doing this, all right? But because of the economy, because of family, because of whatever, they get in a job and they start making some money and they get comfortable and that's it, all right? So they never, you know, and somehow they start redefining their purpose because of the current situation. All right. Again, you talk about immigrants who come to this country. Some of them, back where they were, had actually decent job, decent lifestyle. But they moved to another country, just not America. Right? When you move out of your comfort zone and you find yourself having to do, you know, anything to survive. And so rather than being that doctor that they were back in the home country, but being that lawyer or being that teacher, driving cabs, they're doing nursing aid. Not that any of these is beneath humanity, but that's not what they felt they were, you know, created to be and to do. But life situation. So all I'm saying is sometimes your purpose is never really fulfilled, not because you don't want to fulfill it or you don't know it, but life situation puts you in that rut and you stay there. Right? So when you start talking about purpose and the meaning of life, you have to be able to, one, be realistic about it. And say, okay, now, at this stage, I'm 52 right now. Ain't no way I'm going to be a doctor. Mm-hmm. Ain't no way I'm going to be a doctor. Ain't no way. Ain't no way. First of all, I can't even see myself back in a traditional classroom to start with. That's me. I'm talking about me. Personally, now you read stories of an 80-year-old woman just got her bachelor's degree. Oh, glory be to God for her. Thank God for her. That's great. But that would not be me. If I get the degree now, it's a free one. Say, we honor you, respect you, you know. It's like, I have a doctorate degree, but it's a free one. Someone just give it to me. And say, because of your contribution to our community, we honor you with that. So I don't even, you never see that behind my name anyway, because... I appreciate the honor, but that's as far it goes. The point I'm making to you is, even if I discover late in life that I believe that my purpose is to be something that I'm not already, because of where I am in stage in my life, I may never get there. So why is trying to find your purpose great at such an age where you are now? Why do you think so? You can do it, right? You can do it. Now how do you marry, and I'm sure you guys must have talked about this last time, how do you marry passion and purpose? Does passion always lead to purpose?
Not necessarily.
All right. Yeah. Why you say that? Why?
Because I think we did go last time. Passion is something that you enjoy doing. You want to put all your energy into, but your purpose could be something different. You know, right? If it just so happens that the two are aligned, then great.
Great, you know, exactly.
Life is wonderful. But if they're not, you want would then struggle, you know, with okay, which should I pursue, passion versus purpose? There's that conflict that one would continue to go through until they reach a stage where they say, well, you know what, that whole purpose thing's not going to happen. I may as well follow passion or just exist.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to lie, I think.
Anybody else?
I think your passion and purpose, I think they do align. I just feel like in order for you to be fulfilled, it has to be something that you love doing. And then in that you find your purpose. It's always going to be something other than yourself. It's not just going to be about you. It's going to be like your passion. It'll be like, what they say, like, I grew up dancing, so I love to dance. So my passion would be dance, and maybe if I taught, like, younger generations, that would be, like, my purpose or something like that. But I feel like it's always going to be aligned with what I want to do. I don't think to fulfill my purpose, I'm going to be miserable or something like that. I feel like I'm still going to enjoy doing it. It's still going to be something that I enjoy doing in some extent. It might not be, like, a crazy passion that I have, but it will align some way. Or my passion will at least lead me to my purpose.
Yeah, I agree with you. If it happens, you know, that's great, but not necessarily, doesn't always align. You can be passionate about something that, I think your purpose has to deal with, you know, what God wants you to do. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what you're passionate about may not relate to the plan that God has for your life.
So what I'm hearing from you, we can then have multiple passions. We have multiple patterns. Assuming all of us here went to a higher institution of learning, assuming that after high school, how many of us here actually knew exactly what we wanted to do when we left high school and entered into any form of higher institution learning, no matter what that was? How many of us here knew exactly what we wanted to do?
I did.
You did. All right, and that was?
To be a doctor.
Okay, all right. The last time I checked, you're not a doctor.
No.
Because I've come a long way, I know that.
Yeah.
It plays to what we're talking about, right? Because I knew that if we went to the same high school together, right? You know, across town, but the same kind of school system, Catholic school system. So I know that about her. I know all about that. All right, but she's not a doctor. And the reason why I'm going to use her as illustration is because I knew that was what her life was leading her. But she's not today. All right. So how if you can speak to that, how does that play into where you are now in your life?
So I think. I thought my purpose was to become a doctor. Mm-hmm. That's what I wanted with all my heart. I pursued it. I spent 3 years in med school pursuing that. And I think if the Civil War had not happened, I would be a doctor today. But things happen and, you know, you have to move on with life. And I looked at what life handed to me. And I decided I can't dwell on self-pity and all of that. So I had to move on. And my passion had always been teaching. So I love teaching. I used to do all kinds of crazy stuff. My mom used to whip me for beating up her flowers and talking to her power bed. That's my students. So I got an opportunity to become a teacher, and I enjoyed it. I love teaching, but now I think I have gone from my passion as a teacher now to my purpose as an administrator. Or more like a coach. I enjoy helping teachers become the best that they can be. And my passion led to that. But I think my purpose kind of shifted away from my passion as wanting to teach students. Now I'm teaching teachers.
Interesting.
So that's where I am.
Interesting. Yeah. Because for me, I've always thought my passion from first time I opened up the first computer that I could see was technology. I want to write the program that made that computer work. Right? It's always been my passion. But I know that's not my purpose. My purpose is to help people. So I realized this. Oh, this was sometime in 2009, 2010, I was a little stagnant at work. I had some extra time, and even with my studies, I could still spend some time doing something else. So I figure out, rather than just going home and just gallivanting, I volunteered to teach English. And it was there that I realized, yes, this truly is my passion to help, to, you know, serve. And as much as I love technology, if I can get the two to work together, great. If I could teach technology, fine. That then works well. But if I have to leave technology, I would gladly do it to fulfill that I know is truly what I much rather be doing.
I think as young people, as you move toward not so much identifying your purpose, but as you move toward living out your purpose, I think one of the first things that we need to think about is stop playing by the rules. Because sometimes the rule puts you into a box. Right? If you ask, what do I mean by that? If you look at what I consider to be the traditional value system in America, right, would be for you to go to school, get a college degree, get married, buy a house, and live happily ever after. Maybe get a dog along the way. Because when people talk about the American dream, what are they in essence talking about? Just that. Accumulating wealth, going to school, getting a degree, get married, buy a house, and work until you die paying for it. So if you start to pursue that, chances are you wake up one morning and say, but listen, I'm passionate about this. I think God is leading me to do this. But if I did this, I may never acquire money to buy this house. So then I will not be fulfilling societal demands on my life. Because sometimes your purpose can be sometimes counterintuitive, to the point where you almost caught in the middle. This is what, you know, people expect of me, and then this is what I think I ought to be doing. Take kids for an example. How many kids go to school right now and enter into a field of study only because that's what the parents want for them? You're going to be a doctor whether you want to or not. You're going to be a lawyer. Your grandfather was a lawyer. Your dad is a lawyer. You will be a lawyer. And so you got kids. You know, do you know that 72% of kids go to college not knowing what they want to do? So now most major universities, they're now creating a whole department of study for the undecided. A whole department. Because they realize that America high school education does not really prepare teenagers for college life. Unlike other school systems around the world, that kids know what they want to do by 16, 17 years old, and they just beat it in them until, you know, they get it. Whereas American education is, you're doing this general field of study in high school. Everybody taking the same courses, everybody doing the same thing, and after high school, you wonder why kids don't know what they want to do. Half of them there because parents say, you gotta go. Now, it's not even being discussed that in the next 25 years, you know, right now they talk about the value of college education vis-a-vis the amount of money, you know, it takes to go through a four-year program, and then you can't find a job to pay for the money you got to go to school for 4 years. So all of this played into the purpose of an individual. Because if someone say, my purpose in life is this, the question is, do I then need all of these things to accomplish my purpose? Mm-hmm. And sometimes the answer is no, sometimes the answer is yes. But the difficulty in stepping out of that box to fulfill your purpose has to do with the demands that friends place on you, parents place on you, society plays on you. Mm-hmm. All right? Because the fact of the matter is, let's face it, we are influenced by all of the above. We are influenced by it. But how far are you willing to go to break away from that in order, you know, to fulfill that which you believe that this is what where God wants me to be in my life? Now, when you bring in a God talk on this, it's not so much, you know, what God wants to do in the church, you know, but what God wants you to do as an individual, period. Whether it's in the church, whether it's outside, because the fact of the matter is, our belief in God should influence everything that we do. Mm-hmm. Should influence business transaction, should influence conversation, should influence lifestyle, should just everything we do, it should influence it. Right? And so if that is the case, then it also should influence our purpose in life. Right? Now, one of the most frustrating things in an individual's life is to go through all of life and you look at, I wish I had.
Yeah.
I wish I had. Now sometimes you still got time to correct it, and other times you don't. And so you just leave it. But the thing is, when do you think, when do you believe that you're in your zone? This is where I believe God wants me, and this is where I'm gonna stay. When do you think that ever happens? When does the light bulb goes off and say, bingo, you're there? Or I got it.
It has to be then at that purpose point, right, where you just haven't have an epiphany that, hey, this is my purpose. I am most satisfied I've ever been. I would much rather do nothing else in life at this point. And
one really reached it. Well, I don't know if it's that time. Uh-huh.
one ever really, I mean, I guess when you feel fulfilled.
When you're fulfilled, mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
When is that?
It's only you can tell that. Yeah. Only the individual can tell that.
Yeah.
And I think I've reached that. I've reached that point where I'm totally satisfied with what I do. I wake up in the morning and I want to go to work. Mm-hmm. I don't care because every day I go in that building, mm-hmm. there's something new I learn. Mm-hmm. Every day I go in that building, there's something that someone who appreciates what I did for them that day. Mm-hmm. So I feel very good just going to work. So I think I've gotten to the place, and I thought I would never get to this place when I didn't finish med school. I was really angry with everybody that had anything to do with that Civil War. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't live my life being angry forever.
Yeah.
You know, and I found my purpose. Mm-hmm. So I'm fine.
And I'm saying it's the same thing as it's when you find that purpose. I've experienced the same thing. And I know that's my passion because now that I'm no longer involved in it, I still desire it. I still would definitely seek it out again once I regain my time. So it's a matter of realizing the state and knowing, okay, my state has changed. Do I still desire that state? If I still truly desire that state, it must be the state for which I must serve. Yeah.
Now, can people stumble on the purpose?
I think so. Yeah. Exactly.
This was not what I did. It was not what I planned for my life.
And your purpose is not necessarily just the working aspect of it, right?
Because
for me, for right now, I feel that I'm fulfilled in my purpose of what God chose for me. You know, like being here at West Hyattsville, I feel that that's God's calling. I feel this is exactly where God wants us to be.
Yeah, you are awesome, man. He told me you, right?
So there's a follow to that after you're done.
So spiritually, as far as that, I feel that, you know, because there was a time that, like, I never wished to be a pastor's wife. You know, matter of fact, I used to boast about, he's a master of life. Yeah, until when we became faced with him, the first thing I told him was, why would you want to do that to us? I'm like, our life's fine. Why mess it up? You know? And, you know, it didn't happen then. And then because it didn't happen then I guess I started to think about it. Mm-hmm. And then I felt like, you know, I wasn't, you know, fulfilling. You know, I was doing other stuff, but I wasn't fulfilling. But this, I thought, you know, I think, you know, like, exactly where God wants us to be for now. Because, you know, I guess his command could change at any time. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to work, I'm just doing it because I have to.
You have to, right? We have to exist. We have to pay that fee to exist.
Right. You know, so it's like, you know, I mean, I guess I'm in a position where I can help people. So I do, I bring the spiritual aspect to it to do the best that I can and try to do the right thing. But I don't know. Because if you give me that money today, I'll take it and not return that office, you know? So, yeah.
So the follow-up question to that is then.
Like, I'm not letting
it
go.
No, that cannot go. That is critical. So how does a married couple pursue their purpose, you know, when does that then? It would be great again if the two people have the same purpose. What happens if the purpose, they're not the same?
Most times it's not.
I mean, most times it's not. And I think, like, in the example where he's a pastor or a minister, or I think even a deacon, or you called to do a thing, you know, something. Like, even if it's your calling to teach on a volunteer basis, no money basis, you know, sometimes you have to be aligned with a wife that can understand that you're spending that time for something that you desire to do. And that and sometimes that thing that you're doing, you're not, you know, bringing any money in, but it fulfills you, you know. So while it may not be her calling, I think you need to be aligned with a partner that accepts it and wants your happiness. Because if not, it eventually brings conflict. So, like, in the case of being a pastor's wife, you have to understand that's a calling on you as well. You know, you hear other people say, oh, they call him, not me. One of the first pastor wife.
that's what she told me.
Right.
Don't listen to that. She had been married to him for 30-some years and said, they call him, they ain't call you. You don't put any pressure on yourself. Do whatever you want to do. You know, that was not good advice, I think. I think you have to be in the life mind for it to work with the family, because it's a sacrifice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like I'm perfect, because sometimes I do get upset. Like, don't you answer your phone for me? You know, I know he picked up that phone for West Hinesville, so he had two phones, and I stopped calling the non-West Hinesville number because he would answer the West Hinesville. So, you know, but imagine if I weren't alive, like if I didn't have Christ as my Savior, if I wasn't trying to please God, I don't think it works. I don't think you can be just two separate individual when on something like that.
So,
yeah. No.
Just go ahead.
That is the first lady.
Okay. So yes, there has to be some degree of alignment, right?
Yes, I think so.
In that respect, we don't see the alignment exists. That's it. That's an assumption. We can say that. That's fine. But the purpose are still different, right? So,
yes. So
does one give up their purpose to see the other fulfill theirs, or should both, you know, seek to fulfill the other person supports the other person in fulfilling theirs. A person supports the other person, but it's still conflict there.
I think support and not give up. You can't give me your purpose.
I knew that's what he was saying.
Or you can't be able to fulfill.
Right.
I knew that's what he was going to say.
You don't truly get fulfilled.
You can't give up your purpose.
I knew that's what he was going to say. I don't necessarily agree with it either. You know?
But even though you align a husband and wife or as partners, you're still an individual. Called to fulfill a certain God-given purpose, and you can't give it up. No, you support the other. You can't give it up. You shouldn't.
And I know that if he hadn't been in the room, you asked me that question, I would have said that's what he was gonna say.
Yeah.
But in reality, again, going by our situation, when he was traveling for the BWA, I had to take a back seat in my career.
Because it was not your purpose. Or your
no,
purpose.
Whatever it was.
You just said.
I just said it changed now.
Whatever it was, because she didn't discover it, right? Because you just told me.
I couldn't pursue. Okay, let's say in the case of and usually people who want to be doctors or lawyers, they're very passionate about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say in that case, right? I wanted to be a doctor more than anything else. And he had to travel, and we had the kids.
It would be complicated.
But sometimes it's not necessarily the woman. To me, for a relationship, you know, something has to give.
Oh, I agree.
And to me, that's what, in a case, is like, okay, maybe you're prolonging your call, your purpose, but, you know, raising a kid or starting a new joint family, everybody can't, you know, be so solo on pursuing theirs, you know, because so when do you connect? But one can be so selfish, though, because sometimes one person will be so selfish, like it's all about them, and they never slow down enough to give the other person a chance.
Let's move on to something else here. We said, but one of the ways that you discover your purpose is sometimes you got to not play by the rule. The other one demands on you. You have to just say, that's it. I'm on this trajectory. I think another one is you have to be willing to get out of your comfort zone. Because your comfort zone is that zone, is that place where, you know, you're living without fear. You're not afraid of anything. I mean, right now, I've got this great paying job, you know, I've got job security, you know. Yeah, it might not be everything I want to be, but for now, that's where I am. And sometimes you have to just get out of that in order to pursue, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people you know that say, oh, I left my job and I started my business with practically nothing, you know, or I started this stuff with practically nothing, or when I started, everybody doubted me, I couldn't do it. But I went in head on because I believed that was my God fit. That's what I really wanted to do. I think most of the time we don't pursue our purpose because we're afraid. We're afraid of the unknown. We're really afraid. It's like I was having a conversation with two of our one of our deacons, another member, just here this afternoon, and he said to me, you know, Pastor, when you announced to the church you were leaving your job to, you know, to spend more time with us, we were really, really, really worried about you. I said, why? He said, well, because we knew financially you were leaving a substantial amount of money to come here when we're not able, you know, to give you that. And I say, yeah, well, I know that will work for myself. I mean, that's the reality. We were leaving a lot of money. And I love what I did. I got tired of the traveling, but I love what I really love what I did, you know. And it's funny, I haven't missed it. But you know, just coming to that decision that, you know, it came down to deciding based on money, actually. Had I stayed where I was, it would be strictly based on the Benjamins. Yeah, I was comfortable. I had job security. Been there 22 years, well-respected and everything else. And then coming to a church of an active membership at the time of maybe 50, 55, you know, what do I do if the bottom drops? And I got a family to feed, you know, obviously I got a partner that contribute substantially, if not more. But we were comfortable for where we were. And here, one, and that's what she talked about, being aligned together, because on normal work, we say, heck no, you're not doing that, you know. But again, I was not comfortable making a decision based on money, because my heart was leading me here, you know, to this particular church. And, you know, we haven't missed anything, actually.
That's okay.
You know,
I haven't missed anything. You know, and my quality of life has improved drastically. I mean, come on. I don't have to deal with the runway traffic anymore.
You have time for coffee.
I got time for coffee on my deck. You know, God has blessed us. We've got one or two contracts here that kind of
augment, you know, what his husband is not able to do. So I mean, my life has just improved tremendously. Like, you know, the stress level is completely down. I had a boss who believed that, you know, if he defined bureaucracy, his picture would be next to it in the dictionary. I mean, he was one of those guys, 9 to 5, you know. And so my stress level is just way, way down, you know. And I enjoy what I do, you know. And I believe, personally, where I am now, I'm fulfilling God's purpose. And when I made a joke about the West Highsville thing is I don't believe that my purpose in life is to be pastor of West Highsville Baptist Church. I don't. But I believe my purpose in life is to serve God's people, wherever that may be. That's what I believe. It just so happened that in this season of my life, you know, I believe God has me here. For whatever the reason, God has me here. And you know, God could decide, hey, I'm going to give you another opportunity. I don't know, but for now, this is where I am. So we should be careful not to tie our purpose with a particular opportunity.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't tie your purpose to a particular opportunity. If God calls you to be a teacher, it doesn't mean you got to teach in Highsville High School for the rest of your life.
That's true.
You know, but you can fulfill your purpose in many places. All right. Now, when Dekanti talked about she believed your purpose must be tied with what God wants you to, I believe it. I believe it. Whether it's been a bank teller, I believe if that's where God wants you to be, you know, to influence other bank tellers, maybe that's where God wants you to be, you know. And sometimes I think when people talk about, especially as Christians, when people talk about purpose, they always run to the spiritual things. You know, no. Mm. But your purpose is your purpose. Whether it's a school teacher, Uber driver, you know, a homemaker, whatever you feel that purpose is, that you know, that's your spiritual fulfillment. Because we are to live out our spirituality wherever we are. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I have a question. So is your purpose in life tied to your destiny?
Yes. Yes.
Are they the same thing? Or?
No, I won't say the same thing. Now, as people, we have technically, spiritually speaking, we have two destinies. The ultimate destiny is to be with God at the end of everything. So that's what we talked about. But then here, our destiny is to fulfill that purpose we believe God has given us. That's where it all ends. Yeah. I don't think it's not a play on words, and that it's not one and the same, but our purpose lead us there. If that makes sense.
I think there was something you said about, you know, like maybe right now I'm satisfied. And so maybe it's not mistaking our personal satisfaction for...
Yeah.
You know, purpose. Yeah, you know, purpose, so yes, you can be satisfied with where you are, and like you say, complacent and okay with where you are, and maybe God wants you something else. So sometimes we tend to get too comfortable because, I mean, like, one of the things for me, I love the way the church is now. Yeah, and I love knowing everybody, and it will stress me out when I can't. Speak to everybody. Like now, when I miss some people, I think about it, you know. So then sometimes I think about, gosh, if it ever get big, like, you know. So, but it's not necessarily about what I want.
Yeah.
You know, it's about what God wants. You know. So, I could be fulfilled with the way it is. You know. But who am I in the, you know, the, and like he said, if I mean, I hope not, but if God calls us someplace else, you know, and to me, the way I see it too sometimes, if you're not in God's purpose, I think he will let you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't think you're going to have that satisfaction or that sense of fulfillment. You know, I think, like you said, you're always going to yearn to go back to that place.
Finally, let's be clear about one thing. Fulfilling your purpose doesn't always bring you joy.
Right.
Uh-huh.
gives me a purpose that's the ultimate to that. Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? His purpose was Calvary. Yeah. He was not happy about the glory. I mean, he said it himself. He was not happy about the Calvary. And the reason why fulfilling your purpose is to always bring you joy, because your purpose is not necessarily what you want to be or do. Because if your purpose is what you want to be or do, then it's easy. Whatever you like to do, that's your purpose. But God calls us at a certain point in time in our lives and put demands on us that we don't like. We may not want. And God puts us in difficult places to fulfill our purpose. And so it doesn't always bring you joy. And I just want to throw that in because you have to understand that all of this is not about you, but it's about you being used, not using in a bad sense, but God using you, you know, to enrich somebody else or to enhance somebody or to encourage somebody else or just be a blessing to somebody else. And so we have to understand that. But your purpose is always fulfilling.
Yes, it's good that you mentioned that, actually. It's because as we, and that reminded me too of the experience that I had, right? I'm spending 20 hours a week trying to plan lessons, and it's tasking. I'm going out of my way to drive 25 minutes to meet this person, to actually tutor them twice a week. And so I'm finding, like, I'm spending so much time doing it. I don't have the time. It's as much as I feel fulfilled doing it, there is still something that I'm actually struggling, because I don't like how much time I have to spend doing it. It's not always great, but when I'm there, I'm delivering. It's great, but preparing for it, it's not.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So then, Talis, the degree for which Talis, it's my discomfort was experienced, I would say it was moderate. It was manageable. Mm-hmm. What happens if the degree for which someone has to experience far exceeds their ability to perceive they can manage to fulfill their purpose? So
One of two things happen. One is if that person believes deep down that there's a purpose there, they will pursue it. If not, they will quit.
Because we don't always know that's our purpose. Right?
That's why I say that, because you don't always know. Yeah. That's why I say if they know there's a purpose there, they will pursue it. Mm-hmm. If not, they will quit.
So the question was, like, if the person is struggling so much for what they have to do, right?
Yes, right.
It's such a struggle for them. So I was thinking, like, with Paul, right? So, okay, Paul was suffering, but he was happy with his suffering because he knew that his suffering was ultimately giving him the opportunity to spread the gospel.
No, Paul, the different thing. Paul understood from the get-go that God called him for that.
Right.
So he knew his purpose. His purpose from the very beginning, and he was fulfilling his purpose.
Right.
So he knew that.
But he didn't necessarily want to be in jail either, but he accepted.
He accepted that because he felt
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he had bad days.
Oh, in fact, more bad days than good days. Yeah. Yeah.
But he stayed.
Right.
In.
Because he knew that was his purpose.
Yeah, he knew that was his purpose. So in this case, maybe that person. Oh, so the difference is that person doesn't know.
Exactly. That's why he's. Yeah,
they're not so clear. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Let's not go to Paul. Let's look at MLK Jr. Mm-hmm. I mean, just look at Martin Luther King Jr. He knew when he entered, and I think a lot of people forget he was a very young man, mm-hmm. in his early 30s. Mm-hmm. All right. When he entered that, he knew death was a possibility. Mm-hmm. He knew that. But he stuck with it because he had that dream that this is what God wants me to do, to lead my people at this such a time. He was very young when he started, and died young as well. Mm-hmm. All right. So what I'm saying to you, but there were others who didn't believe that was their calling, other African Americans who didn't believe mm-hmm. that was their calling, and did nothing, and just mm-hmm. did. I'm talking about churches as well. That's one of the reasons why today you have the National Baptist and you have the Progressive National Baptist, because the Progressive were people like MLK who broke away from the National Baptist because the National Baptist was doing nothing about segregation. Mm-hmm. They felt, this is not, we just want to preach the gospel and leave it alone. And MLK and Ralph Abernathy and Rodman Taylor, those boys decided, very young at the time, decided this is not for us. We got to be progressive. And so they broke away and formed a whole new Baptist group right here at Shiloh Baptist Church in downtown D.C. All right. So what I'm saying to you is, if you know this is where God wants you to be, that's where you're going to go. But if you're trying to decipher your way through it, you just go quit. Because I mean, how many of us really want suffering to take us to our destiny.
Right.
Now, I tell you my own story. I never wanted to be a preacher. I had no desire. I never had any desire. I wanted to go to medical school. As a matter of fact, I had a full ride from UNESCO to study medicine. I was an A student in high school biology. I loved it. And the very day I went to get my scholarship check for the UNESCO office, it was the day I said yes to go to seminary and not have a penny. I went to seminary for 4 years and still didn't know why I was there. Hmm. I graduated from seminary. It took almost 2 years to say yes to ordination because I said I would not be ordained without knowing why. So it was almost like I wasted 6 years of my life mm-hmm. and still not knowing what I wanted to do. And I finally said yes to ordination, and even not because I was clear, there was no writing on the wall, but I just had this, at some point I just had this deep down feeling that I was doing the right thing. I mean, you didn't grow up anything like this, so you
were.
I don't know how long
you stayed there.
But back then, and even now, I mean, preachers were poor. I mean, I was around preachers all my life. I grew up in the church. But preachers were poor. The only one preacher I knew that had money was, later became my pastor, but he only had money because he was a lawyer. And not because he was a preacher. And I didn't want to be like those poor preachers. I had no desire, you know, to be one of them. I didn't want to be them, and, you know, and none of that. So, I mean, you know, I could see myself with one black coat, mm-hmm. you know, and that was it. No, I couldn't do that. Are you kidding me? So what I'm saying to you is I committed myself to 4 years of education that could have been a total failure. That would have been a total waste of time, right? But only because I said yes to an inner feeling that I was not sure about. I was not sure. I mean, you know, and I went. I said, well, maybe I end up being a teacher and all of that stuff. But as I just kind of lend myself to it, no. Actually, I right now I have no regrets. I'm having the time of my life. I love doing what I do. I love it. I really, really do. I really, really, really do, you know, and that's why for me it was not too much of a decision to say, you know, yes to West Highsville and say no, BWA. You know, it was easy, and you know, there were times I rushed and like, well, BWA is still the church, even though it's not mm-hmm. a local church, it's still a church organization. I'm still speaking, but you know, that was just me trying to rationalize.
Yeah.
Listen, every time I just saw those dollar signs in my eye. I mean, I have to admit, I mean, they pay me very well, you know, and, but I'm very fulfilled right now. I am extremely fulfilled right now. I mean, I, I, I think I'm living the best days of my life right now. Right now. You know, I'm happy. And so I say all this to say, I believe I'm living my purpose right now. Because that's how I feel. You know, I'm living my purpose. Yeah. By no means perfect. Do have challenges as well as like everybody else. But, you know, I think one's purpose is tied in where God wants you to be at the end of the day. Your destiny, your purpose, it goes together. And so, what happens if you don't know your purpose? I think like everything else, you pray for God to give you that clarity, that sense of purpose, where you believe God wants you. To be. And while your purpose may not always bring you joy, it brings you fulfillment.
Yeah.
Okay. It brings you fulfillment. Okay.
So is it possible? So that there are two questions in, right? I'll just ask you, I'll forget it. One, not knowing, not realizing what one's purpose is it possible for us then to live our lives without realizing what
yes.
our purpose is and still fulfill our yes. purpose?
Yes, it's possible.
And what happens if we live our life not knowing that we fulfilled our purpose mm-hmm. and I'd assume we didn't fulfill it. Is it even possible for one to live their life and not fulfill their purpose?
Well, someone will tell you no. I know people who say no because God will show it to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's possible. Now, someone else will answer this question differently. We say, God has one purpose for every one of us, and that is to serve Him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we agree on that. Now, which direction that service takes is a whole different story. It could be a classroom teacher, it could be a event manager, it could be a lawyer, it could be a cab driver, it could be, you know, somewhere in a grocery store, however that service takes, it's for you to decide. This is where, you know, God wants me to be. Because ultimately, as people of faith, yes, our ultimate purpose in life is to serve God.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But it's that to serve that needs to be defined. What that service is.
So then, what happens if you live without realizing what your purpose is, but you fulfill it? I mean. You as the individual,
right?
What?
Right.
I think you would know.
If you have a relationship
with God. We want to eat before the food gets cold.
So we can eat and talk.
Yeah.
We can back
with it.
You're gonna be first in line,
huh?
Yeah.
Oh, you should have said it.
Definitely though.